you've got Dane Todd.
Now, he's Nebraska's doctor for saving shoulders.
I care about your butt.
It's another Husker Home Friday with Dr. Dane Todd, powered by Nebraska Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. The doctor is in the house. Now, with Greg at the Hooks.
Welcome back into Greg at the Hooks. Happy Husker Homer Friday. Bill Hooks, Will Wilson, Dr. Dane Todd, Nick Gregeth. Dane just asked me when he walked in, he goes, what's up with this seat change up? Do you hear that?
Oh, boy.
Nick Gregeth is with us, but he's remote.
Oh.
That's right.
Dane did not know that.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Why are you remote today, bro?
For those who don't know that have been listening this week, maybe you miss a... was it Tuesday? Tuesday, maybe?
Well, yeah. Tuesday. Yeah. Monday
so,
after we found out.
My neighbor is COVID-19 positive, and she's right now at the house. She's doing all right, you know, just getting through COVID, doing the stuff you have to do. She's got two little kids the same age as my kids and a husband who's a good friend of mine. The two little ones and the wife who is sick was with my little ones and my wife all day Saturday while I was in La Vista. And then she had a test, and it turned around, and then on Monday, she got her test back saying she was positive for COVID. Apparently, she got sick right after hanging out with my family. So that's where I'm at. So went and got COVID tested yesterday, took my kids, did the whole nine yards, and then here we are. So I'll be back Monday, I'm sure.
All right, sounds good. Well,
we're just doing my job, man.
Doing the right thing for the town. Yep, doing the right thing.
You
staying
are.
Home.
Minimalizing how much I am out in public I'm doing.
Sorry, I couldn't help but laugh as you were talking. Not about that, but as the there were multiple sounds coming out of your garage.
What was it? Was it kids yelling? Oh, that, yeah. I see you a photo. I told you, I wasn't kidding. I got a 30 rack sitting here. It's Husker Homer Friday, man.
I love it, dude. I love it. Moderately jealous right now.
Here's the picture I had to show you.
Wow. Wow, that is a 30 rack of lattes.
Can I tell you the most impressive part of this? So I bought that yesterday, and I asked my kid to go up to the fridge to get me a Busch Light. And he couldn't find it, so he came out in the garage. That tear is from my 7-year-old getting into this box.
That's impressive.
I know.
Been there, done that.
Oh, listen, yeah. little frat bro in the making right there.
Will not be denied.
He is his first step to becoming a future Husker football player has been established.
That's right. You got to be able to tear open a 30 rack real quick.
Dr. Dane Todd in the house with us. Dana, we're the night before a football game.
I know.
Before Big Ten football.
It's crazy,
isn't
it?
We're the night before. Okay? So go back, relive, think about your career at Nebraska. What was the anticipation? What are the emotions like for a player? One, very unique this year, right? Not knowing, oh, the board, when we're going to play, how it's going to go out. But the emotions that players go through.
Oh, yeah, without a question. It's a... especially the first time, right? Especially for those guys who it's their first game that they're going to be playing there. It's going to be there's a lot more nervousness the night before because you don't really know what to expect the day of. Mm-hmm. They can try to prepare you all you want to with, you know, the schedule and how we're going to do things and the walkthrough and all that kind of stuff. But I still remember before my first game ever walking out on the field with an actual uniform on. It was like I had no idea where I was supposed to go or what I was supposed to do and like what the
Big
timing
brother, where
looked
are you?
Like
Let me follow
anything,
you.
You know, I think I was completely dressed like 40 minutes before I had to go anywhere or do anything. Just have no idea. So you just get you grab onto whoever it is who's done it before, and you just follow them around like a little puppy dog just chasing people around out there.
What was it like, again, because Nebraska will travel for its first game, Big Ten play to Ohio State. What was it like when you traveled to your first big-time stadium? Because, again, Memorial Stadium is one thing because the friendly confines of, you know, your travel to Memorial Stadium, you know, in the locker room situation. Mm-hmm. What was it like to that first big away game?
Yeah, the one that I can remember the most, like, I think the first away game that I recall traveling to was Southern Miss, and but it was kind of a smaller stadium. Yeah. Their fans were awful, but, you know, that is what it is.
Mississippi.
The, But the Texas was the first big-time stadium away game I can remember going to, and that's when they had Vince Young, and we were a pretty good team there and supposed to compete well, even though we got trounced. I just remember going to it and walking in and thinking how huge the place was, right? Even though it's not any bigger than Memorial Stadium is.
Different setup, sits down.
Right, and it was so funny, though, to go to away games because – the locker rooms at stadiums for the away teams are just so horrible.
They're awful.
Everywhere you go. Because I remembered what Nebraska's was because we had the North Stadium locker room, and that was where the freshmen got their ankles taped at. And, you know, it wasn't nice, but it was – you at least had space, right? And there were actual lockers there. You'd go to some of these away places, and you'd be in two or three different rooms and – and just nothing but a wooden bench sitting there, and you're just like, wow, this is big-time college sports. I mean, I guess I get it. No reason to make it super nice for the away team.
The welcome mat, baby.
Right. But when
Isn't Iowa the place that does the rooms pink?
Yeah, yeah, their locker room's painted pink. No. Was it Iowa? No, it's Iowa State.
Is it Iowa State? I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I think it's Iowa State that's painted pink because I remember being there and seeing that, like, real classy boys. And
fits them well.
Yeah, the only one that was awesome was Pittsburgh when we went and played out Heinz Field.
Oh,
and
sweet.
Well, I mean, that's an NFL locker room, right? And so you'd go through there, like, wow, this is how it actually is. But it's set up for only, you know, 60 guys, right? As opposed to, you know, your travel squad in college is, you know, 80 plus. So you had to be a little creative there. But, yeah, it's fun. It's a great experience. That's one of the things I'm happiest about in my time there is that because I did, from my freshman year on, I traveled to every single game. I did get to go play in every single stadium in the Big 12. And so that was kind of cool.
That's awesome, man. So what is the team going through right now? COVID protocols, all that stuff. What is this process looking like for these boys as they are now traveling and going out there?
Oh, yeah. So they're getting tested and tested a lot right now. So the from what I've been hearing and knowing about it is that they're going to be – everybody's getting tested, I think, three times between yesterday evening and tonight.
Wow.
Everybody in the travel party. And so there's a whole lot of testing going on right now to make sure that people are safe. And, you know, hopefully those all come back negative because otherwise you've got a major change in the game plan coming up, right?
Oh, boy.
Especially with your 21 days off and then 10 days for any close contact. And holy cow. So I can't wait to see what starts to come out on that.
But. Well, Nebraska has the top two quarterbacks in the Big Ten Conference on their roster, so we have a good problem to have right now.
Right, without a
question. Just in case something like that
happens.
Hopefully
they've been doing meetings in separate rooms.
Yes.
Zoom.
They're not the Raiders? Did you see what the Raiders got going on?
No, what they got
their whole offensive line is in quarantine. Their starters, right before playing the Patriots... what's his name? Lawrence Guy is going to have a field day that's the situation.
That's the easiest money you ever made.
It's Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tampa. Not New England.
Tampa.
Sorry.
Tampa. Got it.
Tampa.
Tampa.
So even better, Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, boy.
Awesome.
Going to be great.
Levante David. That'll be super
good.
That's
going to be brutal right there.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine. One of the biggest things like going into this, and I don't know what the answer is here, but I'm assuming it's terribly, but how is the Big Ten going to handle when one of their teams has an outbreak? Because it'll happen. It's happening in the NFL, happened in Major League Baseball. You know, we're seeing this happen, and we're seeing how these organizations, how they're set to handle it. It happened in the Big 12. It happened in the SEC, and they figured it out. They got through it. I'm so curious to see how poorly the Big Ten is going to handle this.
Well, I mean, it depends on who gets to be in charge of handling it, right? Like, if we let Bill Moose and Scott Frost handle it, it probably won't be a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Kevin Warren gets involved, then, you know, everybody's probably going to just be kicked out of the league and we're going to stop football for the rest of time.
Right.
Right?
For the rest of time. We'll just have a basketball conference, damn it.
That's what it'll be. Until a basketball player tests positive, and then that'll be the end of that. So
just takes one.
I hope you're wrong.
Takes one.
And so I don't know. It'll be... I would hope that they'd have some way to handle it well. I can guarantee whatever way it is handled will not be communicated well, and there will be confusion abound.
Yeah, in case you guys are wondering, in the CrossFit games, Matt Fraser is destroying everybody right now.
Is that what you're on right now?
I got that going on the TV as well. Yeah.
Who'd have thought? That guy's
I'm a big CrossFit guy.
Hey, yeah. Let's do this. We've got Ryan on the line. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Great. How are you guys doing?
We're awesome. We got football tomorrow. It's Football Friday.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's awesome.
Hey, I was just going to let Dane know that locker room is Iowa, and I know he said he's been there, so maybe stick to doctoring up and
didn't Nebraska go there at that time? I thought you guys went to Iowa and whooped their butt.
No, I didn't go there.
It might have been before you got there.
I could have sworn Iowa State's locker room was pink too, but I can't.
I'm pretty sure I know Iowa.
I'm just a little colorblind.
We know Dane's the man, and we missed the fullback, but beat the Buckeyes. Go Big Red.
Yeah, let's go.
I love it. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, no, it's crap like that, which is why we don't have fullbacks anymore, Dane.
That's right.
I don't even know where you're at.
I took a lot of shots to the head over the years, man. It threw my color scheme off just a little bit.
Leave the doctor alone.
I mean, I don't know why I'd know that fact about Iowa anyway. I don't even think about them. Do you guys?
No, they're irrelevant.
Yeah, just exactly. When I'm looking up stories about how they're having a super racist culture over there and getting sued $20 million for all that crap.
Yeah,
God, Lord, what a bad look that is.
It's a bad look, man. Bad look.
Dane, so as we start to dive in, and again, we're playing at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Coach Frost spent a lot of time in front of the media this week, whether it be his normal Monday. He had some Big Ten stuff yesterday that we played. He announced the quarterback. There was a quarterback competition, and wow, shocker. Adrian Martinez is your starter tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Give me your thoughts on that and what that looks like. And I know Nick was heavily all over this because whether the quarterback competition, what you're hoping that they were both playing at like nines, right? They were competing so hard that and we might have this quarterback prodigy and Luke McCaffrey that is just pushing Martinez to a 9.5, whatever. But the other thing, you hope they're not both playing at like fives or sixes.
Right.
It's like, all right, we're going to go with the third year starter based on, yeah, this is where we are.
Dude, I heard he's got a short leash. If that's the case, we're in trouble.
Well, not necessarily in trouble, just different, right?
Well, yeah, they're a different style of quarterback. That's for sure. They're a different style of quarterback.
Yeah, they're a totally different style of quarterback. But, you know, it's like we were talking about, you know, and I mean, that announcement came out and like I did my best shocked face for it, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh my goodness. I mean, they only announced that he was going to be a co-captain before they announced that he was going to be starting. So anybody who is actually surprised by that really wasn't paying much attention. You know, you go with the guy you've got the most experience with, right? And it's just like in boxing, right? In a title fight, the tie goes to the champion, right? And that's how it is. So even if they are playing at exactly the same level, right? I mean, Adrian ends up being the starter because you have to be clearly better to unseat somebody, right?
Yep.
And that goes for every single position on that field right now. You've got to be better, clearly better than the guy who's been doing it in order to get the opportunity, right? And so, you know, good for Adrian. I hope he's clearly better, right? And I hope we have a great season. I hope he just breaks out this year, right? I also hope that Luke is actually just that good, that it's purely a just high-level competition between the two of them, and they're right there neck and neck. And so you give the nod to the guy who's been doing it. You know, you give him the opportunity to make it happen first.
You know,
looking at this quarterback competition and everything that's going on, can we also say this? Scott Frost has made many a statement that he would like a quarterback who could run and run over people. And, you know, you roll out of the pocket, you go get those 10 yards that are sitting there. He's not so worried about you looking downfield and keeping the play going. You get out of the pocket, take one look. If it's not there, run, right? Like, that's been the conversation he's had since he got to Nebraska. Never mind that every other quarterback at every other school he's had is a pass-first guy who rolls out the pocket, Mariota, the kid at UCF. I mean, like every one of them have been this opposite style that plays like Martinez does. But couldn't it simply be that Frost wants a quarterback who plays in the style we just mentioned, and he might have one in McCaffrey, whereas Martinez is more of a guy who plays in the other style?
Yeah, it could be that way for sure.
And I mean, because they're two different quarterbacks that have different styles that we've seen so far. Who knows? Because you're the only one that's even been to practice, and obviously we can't go. So, like, but to me, that's the differentiator here, is that you've got Martinez, who wants to throw down the field, has a lot of experience. He's more of a passing quarterback who can run, whereas McCaffrey last year looked like a guy who's a runner, and then he's going to be able, but he can throw and he'll play quarterback for you, but he's more of a running threat than anything.
Yeah, I would.
Is that fair?
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I think I kind of agree with Coach Frost on that idea and style, where
fullback.
Well, naturally, obviously. Well, no. I disagree. Wow. I disagree with him on that. There's no reason we shouldn't have nine linemen out there with one fullback running just a single set formation, you know, and somebody to hand him the ball. But with getting out there, when you roll out, how many times are you watching games and you see quarterbacks out there on the edge with 15 yards in front of them, and they stop waiting to look to throw the ball? Whereas all I really want to do is continue making forward progress, right? And sure, you might be able to get a big chunk, right, if you can huck it down there and get 25, 30 yards out of the deal. But if you just take off running and get 8, all of a sudden you're at 2nd and 2, and your entire playbook is wide open.
We need to get a Ellen. What's that guy's name? Ellinger down in Texas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sam.
Or like Miller. We need a Tim Tebow. We need like a fullback that can also throw.
That's right. We need.
That's
Adam
what we
Carrick.
Need running around, because everybody gets hurt with Coach Frost here at Nebraska
when he's there.
Because everybody, like, he's never had a quarterback that has played any significant amount of snaps for him not walk off that field injured at some point.
Right.
Like, that's a fact.
Yeah. Well,
so I don't know.
I mean, if your line's really good, that's not a problem.
Listen, man. Last year, it wasn't the offensive line's fault that McCaffrey got hurt, because he was slamming into him every time. The
pinball, bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, they're like, hey, McCaffrey, we're going to have you run through, I don't care, just we're going to have you run up the middle here. And then he's like, I got it.
All 165 pounds of you last year, go.
Like, that poor guy, like, was...
He's 300, you're 160, go. Yeah.
I know.
I just picture Sonic the Hedgehog right there, just wheels bing, spinning, bing, gone. Rings everywhere.
Oh. Yeah, it's this this game. The crazy part is, I think this game obviously is a great test to see where we're at for this season, but it's also the first week, and it's a situation where practices have been weird. I think you have a shot if you come out, you know, in a dead sprint from jump, and this offense is clicking, to get Ohio State. But if you walk out here and there's growing pains, we might be in some deep trouble and not have really an opportunity to show what this team is yet. It might be coming the following week.
Right. No, I agree with you there. I think, you know, I was listening to one of the other morning just AM shows, and they were kind of talking about the game, and they mentioned, they were talking about the coin flip, right? If you win the coin toss, what do you want to do?
Take the ball.
Oh, yeah. That's what they said, too. And I agree completely. I think you got to try to figure out a way to jump out and get something moving early, so that you're not immediately playing from behind, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be a little bit surprised if Ohio State doesn't score on their first drive. Just because that's kind of how I anticipate it going, especially with being all nerved up, traveling to Ohio State for your first game after not playing football for a long time. And obviously they've got Justin Fields there, and just, you know, they've got real players, you know. And so some nerves will play a role in it. And I think it's going to be important to jump out early. Here's the question for you guys. In what quarter does the onside kick come this year?
Yeah.
Right? That was an unmitigated disaster 2 years ago,
boy,
right?
Well, that person has moved on, which is, boy, wow.
I'll be honest with you, man. I think Nebraska's got like two or three things they're going to pull out in this game. You'll see one in the first quarter, especially if it's especially if it's 7-7 or, God willing, Nebraska's up 14-7 at one point. I think you'll see Nebraska try some trickeration to keep that momentum going and get them on their heels. And then if it's not horrible in the second half, like if you know they're going to be ready for it, but if we're kicking off to start the second half, you know that baby is going to be an onside kick.
Yeah. Well, you know, you say 14-7, so basically on the third series of the game, you can look for something because
yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Yeah.
You know, we'll get the ball to start with, two touchdowns, they score one, you know.
Dude, all this game is going to come down to if what I've been told, and I'm take the person who told me this like as honest as can be. If they're going to run a ton of RPO, all right, if Martinez executes, it's a proven fact. If you hurry down the field running RPO, it helps your linemen, it helps your receivers, and it helps your quarterback. Like, look at how many teams run this type of offense that can be super annoying to teams that are way better than them. Like, it is... been like 20 years of football we've watched where this offense can do this, but it comes down to executing it. I mean, look at Bo Pelini's terrible defense trying to stop what's his face, the pirate down there.
Boy.
First game, he gets those guys out there and he's throwing the ball all over the yard and just dominating these guys, because if you can execute that offense, or in this case the RPO, a little different but still the same principles, if you can execute that, it's hard on defenses.
I agree with you completely, man. I think it'd be fantastic. And if we can, let's be honest, even though there's a talent gap between the two teams, right, if you look at it statistically and on paper, right, at the end of the day, that talent gap is really, really just comes to light to your second string and down, right? And that's it. They've got more players who are up at that upper level tier who can compete effectively on a D1 level, right, compared to us. But if you take the starters across the board from both teams, right, that talent gap is much more narrow than everybody looks at it and yep. says. Now
you're talking Nebraska being the last 3 years, Nebraska's been a top 20 recruiting class. Ohio State's been somewhere around the top five, but when you talk about the gap there, while there is one, I agree with you. It's not, you know, you should have guys that are, I mean, think about it. On the offensive line, what do you have? You have a four-star left, or is there a four-star left tackle, four-star left guard, four-star center.
Four-star right tackle, right?
Four-star right tackle. I don't know what the right... Oh, yeah, Farniok. Who's the right guard?
Yeah, Farniok.
Farniok, right? He's a four-star.
Right.
So you have all four stars across your offensive line.
Exactly.
And Ohio State will probably have 2 5-stars and 4 stars up there.
Yeah, right.
Something like that. I mean, what you're saying.
If you think about it, right, that's that gap between just those guys is small, okay? Now, if you start eliminate some of those guys on our side of things, then the gap gets much wider, right? And so it becomes a, you know, throughout the season, a health issue for everybody, right? Keeping guys on the field and doing well. And that's where teams really start to separate at the end of the year more than anything else, right, is when you have the Clemsons and the Alabamas and the Georgias and the Ohio States of the world, right? They'll lose a few guys just like everybody else does throughout the year, but they replace those guys with identical players, you know? Whereas right now, most teams in the country, and we are included in that group, we start to drop off, right? And so I don't worry about the talent gap that much with our starters, right? But it's that
next
step down. It's when somebody has to take a breather because they're getting run all over the field kind of problems, right? Then all of a sudden things start to slip.
We're talking to Dane Todd, Nebraska Sports Medicine and Orthopedic. Messed that all up, but I got
you
all
did. You really screwed it up right there.
Medicine. I haven't talked in a while. So
it's Nebraska Orthopedic and Sports medicine.
My bad. Woo.
I haven't
Hooks,
talked
you had
in
a senior moment.
You get
right
the rest
there.
Of the show, Hooks. I'm going to go play video games.
He's probably playing right now.
I wish I was. I thought about moving this down there.
Dane, I wanted to ask you... you know, we had the quarterback competition, the running back side. We had, you know, obviously Dedrick Mills, on number one. But then Coach Held announces that Ronald Tompkins steps in at number two.
Yeah.
And great story. And I know that not talking specific about his injuries, but the type of injuries that he has had.
Sure.
Talk about that and what it takes to get back and to be at a role now that you I don't think anybody would have predicted him at number two.
I didn't.
At all. Like, they were at some point, maybe not ever playing type thing. But yet, shows back up, puts in the work. Now he's your number two. And Coach Held has had high praise as possibly the best pass catcher on the team. He called him a five-tool player. Talk about the injury, like those types, and how hard they are to get back to the level. Because this kid was like highly recruited by a lot of big time schools, but now he's back and he's the number two running back at Nebraska.
Sure, no, it's incredible. Honestly, he's come back from two ACL surgeries and some other things in between, right? And then just his story of what he went through to get to that point is pretty impressive and pretty incredible. But I couldn't be happier for him. I really hope his body holds up well. You know, it's coming back from a single ACL injury is difficult for players.
I mean, it's like Adrian Peterson type stuff. Like, almost.
It reminds me of Willis McGahee. Edgerrin James. They both tore their ACLs multiple times. Obviously, McGahee's was horrific.
Yeah.
His last year.
Yeah, yep. McGahee's was really bad. But Ronald, if I'm correct, he tore both ACLs. So he hasn't retorn any ACLs.
Okay.
Thank goodness. But I mean, it's still the whole idea though, right? Like you rehab for basically a year, right? Like everybody gets this image of Adrian Peterson being back full tilt in the NFL after 7 months of recovery in their heads. And they're like, oh, that's how it's supposed to be. And I think it was even less than 7 months. I think it was like 5 or 6 months.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
Something ridiculous, right? And I always have to remind people, like, that is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to remember Adrian Peterson is not a normal human being, okay?
Yep.
He is different than the rest of us. He is athletically gifted compared to the rest of us, you know?
Mm-hmm. And he's athletically gifted compared to the athletically gifted.
Yeah, exactly, right?
there you go. Well said.
Yeah, it's the tip of the spear deal, right?
Yes.
And so coming back from that first ACL is hard enough, but then you know what a mental blow it is to then do your other side, right?
I was just thinking about the mental side of that. That's got to be incredible.
I mean, it's just a terrible thing to have to go through, because now you've already missed 1 year, right? And then now you know, first off, you know what you're going to have to go through to get back to that point again, right? And miss another year as a result of it. It's just not ideal, right? And so it's incredible that he's been able to do it and do it well. And kudos to the surgeon who did his operation. He did well enough to get him back, because I know he had that done before he came back here.
Well, a testament to that kid, too.
Mm-hmm. Testament to him for his work ethic, and testament to the training staff and strength staff and everybody else down there who rehabbed him along and got him there. So hopefully he can stay nice and healthy, and hopefully he turns out to be everything we hope he is.
All right, let's do this. Let's reset. We'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll start to Mike Keys.